John chapter 14 is where we will begin today. John chapter 14 in your Bibles. And let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. He's the teacher, amen? I'm His conduit, but you know, I want you to have your antennas up and listen to what He's saying to you today. Let Him teach you. Let Him lead you into all truth for your life. You know, a preacher can say anything at all. I was in a service one time when a guy preached on they needed help in the nursery. So the preacher pretty much spent the whole sermon trying to recruit people for the nurseries. And a man got saved in that service. How does that happen? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you will turn your heart and your ears, your spiritual ears toward the Lord this morning, He'll speak to you about your problems, the areas of your life that need help that no one in here even knows about. The Holy Spirit will minister to that through the Word of God. Amen. So, Father, we trust You to do it. We thank You for Your presence here today. Oh, the glory of Your presence, Lord. And how we need You as we start off this new year, Lord. You alone can lead us into victory in every arena. And so we stand with You, Jesus, and we thank You that You always cause us to triumph. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. He's so good. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you have it, I'm going to read it in the King James there. John 14, 15. If you love Me, keep My commandments. What was Jesus' commandments? It was real simple. It was one. Come on, say it out loud. You know it. Love who? Love one another. Love one another. That was His commandment. Love one another. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, the King James says. In some translations, it says counselor. How many of you have counselor there? Yeah, the modern translators say. It's both. He's our comforter. Amen. Aren't you glad? You're going through something really tough. Guess what? You can turn to the Holy Ghost. He is your comforter, with a capital C. It means He's the best in the world at it. He is our counselor. It's okay to go to earthly counselors. Sometimes you need help outside of yourself. But understand that first you must be led by the counselor to show you which counselor to go to. Are you with me? Don't just go to any old counselor. They'll mess you up for life. But He is the counselor, the comforter. Amen. He will come and He will, look at this phrase in the King James. He will abide with you. How long?
Forever.
Forever. Hallelujah. Say forever.
Forever.
The Holy Spirit is with us forever. Ponder that a moment. How many years of your life you ever spent backslidden, dry as a bone, unzealous for the Lord, out of fellowship with Him? Guess what? During those times, He was still inside you. Because He said, I'll be with you forever. Not just when you're living holy. That's His commitment to us, folks. It is lifelong. He will abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. This is a very interesting phrase Jesus says here. He, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter, dwells with you. What did Jesus mean by that? Well, I'll tell you. The Holy Spirit was all over Jesus. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, the Holy Spirit went. He was coated in spirit. He was, you might say, He was just clothed in the Holy Ghost. At His water baptism, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. John the Baptist testified about Jesus. He said this. He said that the Lord gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus had the full dose. And so when Jesus says here, He is with you. Read it again. He dwelleth. There's the King James word for you. Dwelleth. He dwelleth with you. Now, in other words, Jesus was saying, I'm here in your midst. And the Holy Spirit's all over me, so He's right here with you, but He will be in you. Oh, that's so much more powerful. Because Jesus said, I'm going away to the Father. I'm leaving here soon. But the Holy Spirit's going to come in the new covenant. He's going to live in you. Say, in me. The Holy Spirit is in us. Praise the Lord. That's why the book of Hebrews, the theme of the book of Hebrews is better. It's a better covenant. I mean, the best of men in the Old Testament, the only thing they had was God with them. God was never in them. He would come upon them. Why? Because they were not born again yet. They were unholy, unsaved men. And even on their best day, they were still unregenerated. And so the Holy Spirit would come upon them, but He was never in them. This is powerful. Verse 18, I love this. Look at how Jesus, all of a sudden, he switches gears. I really believe this is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Look how he identifies with the Trinity. I will come to you. Jesus speaks the first phrase. The Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke the second. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I, Jesus, who have been the Word made flesh, I've lived among you 3 years. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And then all of a sudden, the voice of the Spirit speaks and says, I will come to you. Guess what? Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one. The Holy Spirit's not like the weird uncle. You tape his mouth shut at the holiday get-togethers. You know, we put him off in the room and let the other people deal with him. No, the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the Father. And so when in this verse 18, I mean, you know, we could argue about it, but I mean, this is what I believe Jesus is saying. I, Jesus, will not leave you comfortless. Then the Holy Spirit speaks and he says, I will come to you. But Jesus and the Spirit are one. So Jesus spoke it, but it was really the Holy Spirit saying, I'm about to descend from heaven on you. Man, we could just soak on that all day. It's good, isn't it? All right. Last week we shared a little bit with you because we were talking about the incarnation, right? The Word made flesh. And we use that word, it says in John 1, he came and he dwelt among us. That word dwelt in the Greek means tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. And we pointed out to you that when God tabernacled among his people in the Old Testament, they had wonderful, wonderful benefits from it. Provision, amen. They never lacked for food. Their shoes didn't wear out because God was tabernacling. He was dwelling among them. They never lacked for protection. Anytime an enemy would come against them, God would shield them. Amen. He took care of them. I love one of my favorite battles is this one that Israel came up against. And the Bible says the next day, the angel of the Lord struck down 185,000 of the bad guy. That is a lot of dead enemy. But God would do that because he lived among his people. Listen, when God is living among you, you have provision, you have protection. And thirdly, you have wisdom. You have wisdom or guidance. God in us, the Holy Spirit in us, gives us all these things. Everything you read about in the Old Testament is yours in the New Covenant. Amen. And then some. Amen. So we have that. When God says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He's saying, I'll bring my protection with me. I'll bring my provision with me. I'll bring my supernatural wisdom with me. You have it all. Can you say, I have it all? We have it all in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, the promise here in this passage of his eternal presence, because he said, I'll abide with you forever. That means there's no end to it. That promise of his eternal presence is proof of our unchanging righteousness. Remember what I said about the Old Testament people? When they are living right, the Holy Ghost would come on him, right? Like Samson. When he was in line with God, you know, nobody could defeat him. When he slipped away, fell into Delilah's hands, what happened? She cut his hair, his strength left. God says, I'm out of here. You've compromised. I'm out of here. So in the Old Covenant, we see that God would come and go. Not so in the New. He says, I'll abide with you forever. In other words, your righteousness is what qualified you in the Old Testament. Your right standing with God, Bob, qualified you for God sticking around you. Remember in the battle of Jericho, naughty Achan took some of the gold and silver of that first battle. God said, don't keep one penny of it. And what did Achan do? He stole some of the gold and stuff, hid it in his tent. And the next battle Israel went out, it was a little wimpy battle. They said, oh, we just need to send a few thousand soldiers, not the whole army. They got, kicked. They got kicked. And why? Because they had sinned. And God would leave them. See, that was an old covenant thing. But Jesus says here, this is the power of these words here. When he says, I'll be with you forever, what is he saying? Your righteousness, the qualification for me sticking around you, will never change. I hope you see that this morning. That's the beauty of this promise. When God says, I'll be with you forever, why? How can he do that? Because even when you sin, the blood of Jesus cleanses you and keeps you in eternal right standing. Are you with me? That is not an avocation for going out and living a sinful lifestyle. That is the reality and the power of the new covenant. The Bible says in John 1:9, when we sin, his blood cleanses us. Cleansing in a present tense, amen? You are being 24/7 cleansed, even before you confess your sin. Now, that's a whole different teaching. We'll go there another time. Before you even say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, you're cleansed. Did you know that? That's why the Holy Spirit didn't just vomit us the minute you slipped up. But he did in the Old Testament, right? If you know your Bible, you should be nodding your head about it now. That's right. The promise of his eternal presence is proof of our unchanging righteousness before God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We have a word in Christianity. I'm going to teach you some words this year. By the time we get done 2022, you'll be like Bible school students. Last week, we taught you a word called incarnation. Incarnation means the word made flesh. This week, I'm going to talk about immutable. What is immutable? I-M-M-U-T-A-B-L-E. Immutable. Well, we usually say that word about God's nature. He is immutable. It means his nature never changes. Amen. He's holy. He'll be holy forever. He's kind. He'll be kind forever. He's faithful. He'll be faithful forever. That's immutable. He is an unchanging God. But I want you to see this morning this idea of immutable. I started writing about our righteousness and I almost changed it because I thought, no, Lord, that's associated with you. But you know what? Our righteousness is immutable. That's what makes this such a great covenant, Ross. Our righteousness will never change no matter what we do in Christ Jesus. Once you're in Christ, it's done. Your righteousness is sealed. Now your holiness is a different matter altogether. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's a whole different subject. Because you see, your righteousness is based not on what you do, it's on what Jesus did. And he kept the law to perfection, even the spirit of the law, all 33 years he was alive on this earth. And he takes that perfect righteousness, puts it in your bank account, and calls it yours. It's unchanging. You can't change it. You can reject it, but you can't change it. Did you hear me this morning? That's good news. You can't slip and fall and lose your salvation. I believe you can reject your salvation, but I'm not going to argue with you on it. It's not worth arguing. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel. But I believe you can reject your salvation. You can't lose it. It's immutable. It's unchanging. And that's why Jesus said, he, the Spirit of truth, will live with you forever. Amen. He will never leave you. Like I said, you can go through 5, 10, 15 years of just spiritual coldness, spiritual apathy. Guess what? Amen. One third of the Trinity lives in you still. Amen. He said, I'll abide with you forever. Now that ought to not make us callous. That ought not make us lazy. That ought to make us on our toes 24/7. He's in here. He's in me. He's waiting for me to light the fire. He's waiting for me to hit the pilot light and light this thing up. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. This is Jesus just about to leave earth, and he gives the disciples what we call the Great Commission. How many of you are familiar with the Great Commission? Well, by the end of the year, you'll be familiar with the Great Commission. We're going to talk a lot about it this year. Not donkey of a jawbone. All right. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This wasn't a preacher's idea. This was Jesus's idea. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. How long?
Always,
even to the end of the world. And Jesus seals it with his own amen. Remember, he said this. He said amen. And he is known as the amen with a capital T and a capital A. And he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You know what? He'll be with us till the end of the world. You'll feel him with you more the more active you are in verse 19. When you and I get busy with the Great Commission, we'll sense his presence more with us. Why? Because that's why he's with us, is to go out and fulfill these words. You can sit back on your couch and watch TV from now till Jesus comes and get into spiritual ice cubeness if you want. You won't feel the Holy Ghost much around. Why? Because he's waiting for you to get active in verse 19. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. When you and I get busy doing that kind of stuff, we'll feel the Holy Ghost all over us. Because that's why he's in us. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. End of the book. By the way, on your Bible bookmarks this year, I know we just read back in October the book of Acts. But I just feel that the Lord is impressing me about the Holy Spirit this year to start the year off with. So we're going to jump into Acts again. So if you'll notice on your Bible bookmark, that's the first book we're reading starting this week, Acts. Because it's really not the acts of the apostle, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the apostles. Where are we? Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. You know, in the Greek language there, when it says, he hath said, I will never leave thee. That word never, if you look it up in the Greek, it's not hard. Just go to blueletterbible.com and look up that, click on that word never. It will tell you in detail. It'll say this is a double negative. It's like Jesus using child language. I'll never, ever, ever. That's really what he's saying. I'll never, ever, ever leave you. In case you're wondering, it's not just never, it's never, ever, ever, ever. It's double negative, amen? God is saying, I am never, ever going to leave you. Wow. This is what set Israel apart. They were a tiny nation, no stronger, no more special than the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Hittites, the all those ites. No more special than any of those other nations, except that God was with them. And he says here, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you forever. Double negative. I'll never, ever leave you. You know, the message of the book of Hebrews, just speaking of the biblical book of the Hebrews, the whole theme of the book is God will never walk away from you, Hebrews. Will you ever walk away from him? That's really the question of the book of Hebrews. Because these people were being persecuted. If you study the context of the whole book of Hebrews, these were Christians who were going through a hard time, and they were tempted to turn away from God, turn away from Jesus as the new covenant, you know, Lord of their lives. And the truth of the book of Hebrews is simply that God will never walk away from you. Or are you going to walk away from him? It's really the implied question of the whole book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord. All right. I want to look at two Old Testament examples of people who God was with. Let's look at Joshua, chapter 1, book of Joshua. It's right near the front, right after the law, first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 1. And let's read the first five verses there in Joshua chapter 1. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Are you excited that the Holy Spirit will never leave you? Oh, man, that's ought to make your whole year. You say, well, I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas. Doesn't matter. He has said, I will never leave you.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit. You have one third of the Godhead living inside you. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God said, I'll never leave you. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Our key verse here is verse 5, but let's walk our way to it. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, now this is, look at verse 1 before I rush past it. Joshua was the son of Nun, Moses' minister. You know, when you serve somebody great in the kingdom, you're putting yourself in line. Amen. To walk in greatness yourself. That's a really key truth there with Joshua, isn't it? You know, Joshua, the Bible says, he poured water on Moses. Oh, I'm thinking of the other guy. No, he served Moses. I know it says he served. I don't know if it said he poured water on his hands. But he was the servant of Moses. Now, Moses has died. And it says here, Joshua, the son of Nun, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2. God's pretty straightforward, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Moses is dead, Joshua. Now, therefore, you arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give you, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, that, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. That's the Mediterranean Sea, by the way. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What is that? Divine protection, God killing your enemies. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You ought to underline, circle, highlight, put red something around, with. Such a powerful word today. He said, I was with Moses. Joshua, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. and he told him all the days of your life. I think God knew Joshua would walk with him all the days of his life. That's why he could make him that promise. He didn't do that with all the men under the Old Testament. You can read it for yourself. Many of the kings walked away from God. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God would depart from them. But God told Joshua, I'll be with you your whole life. I believe he knew Joshua would serve him his whole life. Amen. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, we're going to look at Joseph. Genesis 39, verses 1 through 3. Anybody here have roast in the oven? I'll buy you a Whataburger. Never mind. Just forget the roast. Forget the roast. I'll buy you a Whataburger. Genesis 39, in verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, I want you to take a note of this. He was brought down. What does that sound like? He was a victim. Sometimes life takes us places we don't want to go. Joseph was taken to Egypt, not by his choice. It's okay, because, as we'll read, God was with him. Look on. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him there. And the Lord was with Joseph. Underline it, circle it, highlight it. Please mark your Bible this year. Please. This book is too massive. When there's nothing worse than going to a page on your Bible. Look at that. There's nothing marked on that page. When I see that page, nothing leaps out to me, Lois. Nothing stands out to me. Mark your Bible. Now get some things circled, highlighted, all right? Underline that phrase, the Lord was with Joseph. And so he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. That's pretty amazing. A heathen could actually see it. God opened his eyes to see, hey, God is with this man. That's why he's so prosperous. He saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all, say all that Joseph did prosper in his hand. I'm telling you, it's powerful when the Lord's with you. And saints, I'm here to tell you in a very practical and everyday way, the Lord is with you. Ladies, when you go to bake bread, the Lord is with you. You're going to make some great taste in bread, not because you're a great cook, but because the Lord is with you. If you trust him for that. Now, he can lay dormant in you and you cannot acknowledge him being there and you may not see the blessing. It may escape you. But if you'll rely on him and trust in him and look to him, you'll see everything you put your hand to as Joseph did. It will be blessed. You will prosper in what you do. Sometimes it's uncanny. Sometimes I go, man, Lord, I was chopping those Bible bookmarks last night. And you know, when you're chopping these fine lines, I try to get really nice color around the edges, you know, without chopping off the pretty little colors I put on there. And you know, after a while I realized, man, I'm anointed for this, Bob. I was slicing and dicing. I said, I'm just anointed. I don't even have to think. I feel like Luke Skywalker. Just close your eyes, Luke. Don't use the instruments. You know, it's the Lord. When the Lord's with you, whatever you do prospers. That's not an avocation of Star Wars, but it's... You know, everybody who was ever anybody in the Bible, they bore this basic testimony, the Lord was with them. Anybody you read about in this book this year that did anything of any significance or anything noteworthy, in essence, they did it simply because the Lord was with them. Anything you do this year that's going to be of any significance, I guarantee you, it's going to be because the Lord is with you. Amen? We don't depend on our own strength. And you know, when we talk about the Lord is with him, I love this idea. I just finished Isaiah the other day, the book of Isaiah. I was kind of falling short of some of my Old Testament goals this year, but I said, if it kills the governor, I'm going to finish the book of Isaiah at least. I love our governor. By the end of the year. So by December 31st, I made it a goal. I'm definitely going to finish Isaiah. And you know what? Isaiah 44:8, I put my own paraphrase on this. Basically, God says this about himself. There's no other gods out there. I checked. That's my spin on it. Isaiah 44:8. There's no other gods out there. I checked. So when we say the Lord was with him, there's no other choice. It's not Dagon, it's not Molech, it's not Baal, it's the Lord. There's only one Lord, only one true God. So when we say the Lord is with us, you can be assured there's no substitutes. Why do we not read our horoscopes as Christians? I hope you don't. No way. Please see me afterwards if you're doing that. Because it's a substitute. Yeah, that's right. The idols of the nations are not gods. There's only one God. God said in Isaiah 44:8, I've checked. I searched the whole universe. There's no other God out here but me. I'm all alone out here. I'm the only God. But when the Lord is with you, the Lord, the one true God, nothing you do can fail as you follow him. Amen? This is a word for you for the new year. Praise the Lord. You know, from time to time, as I said earlier, when God's people got into sin in the Old Testament, the presence of the Lord would leave them, or the blessing of the Lord would depart from them, wouldn't it? We see this in Psalm 51:11. Let's turn there real quick. I wasn't going to have you turn, but I think it's good for you to put your eyes on it. This is the psalm that David wrote after he had committed adultery and murder. Well, murder first, and then adultery. Well, no, excuse me. Adultery and then murder. In Isaiah 51, he wrote this amazing chapter of repentance when Nathan the prophet called him out. And look at what it says in verse 11. This is David's heart cry. He's weeping bitterly as he writes these words. He says in Psalm 51:11, look at it here with me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David said, I can't live without you, God. I've got to have your presence. I can't have your Holy Spirit leaving me like I saw it leave Samson, as we read about, as it left Achan when he took the gold of Jericho. All the stories of old, when the Spirit of God departed from men, he said, God, I can't have that be my experience. Guess what? As a New Testament believer, you'll never have to pray that prayer. Now, you can read it, and you can appreciate the heart of it. Yes. It's good to appreciate the heart of what David was saying. David's saying, I value your presence so much, I can't live without you, God. But he was under a lesser covenant. Hebrews affirms we are under a better covenant. He said, I will never leave you. Never, ever. So we'll never have to pray this prayer in a sense. Now, again, that is not advocating a sinful lifestyle. You'll pay the price dearly for that. But he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. It's another example where God left his people. I want you to see this one in particular. Moses had gone up the mountain. The Lord had written the Ten Commandments. The people down at the base of the mountain had fallen into idolatry and goofiness. And God says, he said, just let me wipe them out, Moses. I'll start you over. We'll start all over, a whole new nation. Look at Exodus chapter 33. I'm reading from the modern translation, Exodus 33, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up here out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I'll send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, all the Hittites. I'm going to skip on ahead, verse 3. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you. God says, I'm not going. You've pushed me too far. He says here, you're a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, I guess so, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people, and if I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I'll decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments. Now their ornaments, mind you, what ornaments? Was it, were they like Christmas trees? No. These were the jewels, the necklaces, the bracelets, all the gold and silver that they plundered from Egypt when they left Egypt. And it was symbolic of God telling them how valued they were. God is really mad here. He said, don't even put on those emblems of how much I value. Take off those ornaments. I'm about to wipe you out. And I'm not going with you, by the way. I'm just going to send one of my angels. I'm going to assign him to go with you. That's how mad God was. Don't answer this, but have you ever made an idol out of your own life? You ever danced before your own golden calf? God didn't leave you. Aren't you grateful? We're under a better covenant. Yes. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will be with you, and I'll abide with you forever. I hope you see the difference. By the way, the distinguishing mark, I want you to learn this as my Bible school students this year too. You ought to be able to assess this. So if someone asks you, what's the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament? It's real simple. In the Old Testament, men were made righteous by what they did, by their doing. Just write doing. Old Testament equals doing. Romans 10:5 says, The man that doeth these things shall live by them. By your doing, you were made righteous. And guess what? None of them could do it. That's the truth of it. But the Old Testament is summarized with that. In the New Testament, you are made righteous by your believing. Believing. Righteous by doing is the Old Testament, the law. Righteous by believing, that's the New Testament. Let me sum it up this way. One of my favorite New Testament verses, Romans 7:25. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? What is that a picture of? A man who can't keep the law. A man who has tried over and over again in his own doing to please God. And he comes to the conclusion, oh, wretched man that I am. I just can't produce righteousness. But the next part of the verse says, but thanks be to God. Amen. Not for Jesus Christ, but through Jesus Christ. How do we please God? Through Jesus Christ. Because he was righteous and we believe in it. We put our faith in it. We become righteous in the New Testament by believing. We'll say more about that in the year. That's a whole teaching in itself. Can you imagine why? I mean, it explains why, doesn't it? Guys like Isaiah, when they were looking 700 years down the road and welcoming a new and better covenant. I mean, imagine Isaiah. Here's the subjects of his prophesying. Number one, doom and gloom to you, Israel. You've fallen into idolatry. Here come the Assyrians. And then he would look down the road a ways and he would see redemption. He would see on the horizon about 150 years down the road. By the way, he named a king by name about 150 years before the guy ever lived, King Cyrus of Persia, who would come in and send the Jews back from Babylon to rebuild their temple. Imagine what that king thought when he read and heard about in the scrolls. Isaiah knew you before you were ever born. But Isaiah prophesied doom and gloom. He prophesied the recovery of the temple, but he looked way further than that. And he saw the new covenant. Yeah. And there's some amazing, amazing verses sprinkled all throughout Isaiah. My other Bible's all marked up. I just finished it the other day. I was like, that's amazing. That's amazing. He wasn't seeing present circumstances. Imagine America was going to collapse tomorrow and somebody who was prophetic stood up and said, I see 700 years from now the glories of what people will walk in. That's what Isaiah said. Go read the book of Isaiah this year. It's not on your New Testament reading, but read it. It's phenomenal. Why? He was saying, I see a new day dawning, a day in which men are not made righteous by their doing, but by their believing. Amen. We said last week again, the Word was made flesh and he dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. John wrote that in the opening verses of the Gospel of John, John 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was testifying of his experience as one of the 12. And you know, we can read that and just go, oh, isn't that great sounding? Jesus was there. He was the Word among the 12 disciples. And it becomes like Bible lore, L-O-R-E, Bible folklore. If that does not become your everyday experience, it's simple Bible folklore. No, that's supposed to be our encounter every day, 24/7. The Word made flesh dwells among us. The Holy Spirit is in us. He wants to dwell. In other words, he wants to come and tabernacle in the middle of your life. He wants to make himself at home in your home. It means he may turn away on some of the things you're watching on TV. He may not be interested, but he's not going to leave you. Are you with me? You can grieve the Holy Spirit, Bob. You can never run him off. Or he can be living inside you and kind of sad about what you're doing, allowing, watching, listening to, but he will never leave you. But he wants to come and make his home in us this year. Amen? He's in you. I know he's in you. But I'm saying he wants you to acknowledge he's in you. Are you with me? Like I said earlier, you ladies go to bake a loaf of bread. You guys set out to wash your car. You go fishing. You go hunting. You do whatever. If you'll include him, he would like to be a part of your life. Every part. See, we separate things. We say, well, Sunday morning, that's for the sacred. The rest of the work is secular. The rest of the week is secular. No, he wants to be a part of your life 24/7. Everything. Where you go to lunch, who you Facebook with, all that stuff. Every part. A total sacred life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll close out with this, Proverbs chapter 4. I want to encourage you this year. This message is to remind you of who's in you and to allow him to be a part of your life. Amen. He wants to help you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to counsel you. He wants to lead you in the best choices. You go to buy a new car this year, don't leave God out of the equation. Don't leave the Holy Ghost out of the negotiating room. Remember who's in you and take him with you. Proverbs 4:26. Ryan brought this out a couple weeks ago, preached a great message on the paths that we take in the Lord. Verse 26 says, ponder the path of your feet, let all your ways be established. I want to encourage you this year to ponder the path of your feet. Don't just go places. Don't just do stuff. The Apostle James said the same thing. He said, some of you are saying, this year we're going to do that. And in 2 months we're going to do this. And he says, that kind of talk is evil for God's people. You ought to rather say, if God wills, we will go here and do this and that. In other words, don't leave God out. Look at this verse in the Amplified. You got it up there, Alan? Thank you. Read it out loud together with me. Consider well the path of your feet and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Notice that last phrase. That's why I chose the Amplified. It's so good. Be ordered aright. The Holy Spirit wants to order your path if you'll let him. If you'll let him. Some people, they spend their whole life making stupid decisions, making a big, big mess of their life. And then they get to the end of their life and it's horrible and they want to blame God. It's wrong. He said, consider well the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established and ordered. God will order your life beautifully. Amen. When we get to heaven and they open your life book, because how many of you know you got a book written? Everything you do, everything you see, everything you're a part of in this life, every day, every moment you're breathing on this planet is written in a book. It's your life story. And when you get to heaven, it's going to be an amazing read. It's not going to have your sins. Those were washed by the blood. Aren't you glad? Your book's not going to testify of your faults. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
But it's going to testify the amazing life that the Holy Spirit lived through you as you allowed him. If you allow him, as we allow him. He said again in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never, ever leave you. I want to encourage you this year to honor his presence, to commune with him, to not neglect him. Spend some time each day just sitting in his presence and getting the feel of what he thinks about your surroundings, what he thinks about the weather today, what he thinks about what's going on in your life, allowing his thoughts to come your way. See, they're there. They're in there. Sometimes we don't slow down long enough to listen to him. He wants to be a part of every part of your life in 2022. Amen? Why don't you stand together with me? Lord, you are our hope. You are our anchor, and you never fail. You are our strength. You will deliver. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. Oh, we rejoice in this new covenant today, Lord. Only you could have made it so. And because of your blood, your eternal righteousness accredited to us, you said the Holy Spirit would come and abide with us forever, and he would never leave us. We receive him in our life afresh today. As we start into this new year, as we launch into 2022, give us a heart sensitive to your presence, Holy Spirit, to know your thoughts in the matter, to know your opinions in the matter, and to follow you down the path of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the Lord bless you today. This is going to be a great, great year in him. Amen. As we yield to him, as we submit to the Holy Spirit, he is going to do some amazing things in our lives. And it may mean letting go of the old ruts that you're so familiar with. The scientists have proven, Judy, that there's ruts made in our minds, like little roads, like paths. You ever noticed where people walk a lot on the grass is beat down? There's just a natural path that's worn. In your brain, there are paths that are worn because your mind has gone to certain places out of habit, out of Adam, out of sin. And God wants to erase those paths and give you new paths to dwell in this year. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and receive that. Lord, we receive your new ways. We receive new paths to dwell in. Because you're in us now. We are not mere people. We are indwelled by the living God, by the Holy One. Give us new paths to walk in. We rejoice in it, Jesus. We thank you that this year, not because we have great willpower, not because we are disciplined people in the flesh, but because of your power in us, you enable us to live a new and glorious life in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in it. That this time next year, we're going to look back and say, wow, how I've changed. Wow, how my life has changed because of these new ways, because of the Holy Spirit living in me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He will awaken you to moments of glory if you will let him. It might mean putting this down now and then. My wife sometimes reminds me, put it down. Talking about a cell phone, for those of you in web land. Sometimes you got to put this thing down. Noise, chatter, media. And you just got to sit in his presence. And say, what do you think, Holy Spirit? Or what's on your mind, God? He'll share it with you if you'll ask him. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great day. This year is going to be a year of victory in Jesus. We're going to talk more about that next week. Victory in every arena in Jesus' name. God bless you.